In the wake of what's been described as a spike in quote-unquote fire deaths, the Firefighters Association of the State of New York descended on Albany to call for action from the state legislature. To consider what steps policymakers at the Capitol might take, we're joined by Assemblymember Ken Zebrowski, a Rockland County Democrat who joined the firefighters in their campaign for legislative action. Welcome back to the Capitol Press Room, Assemblymember.
Great to be back on the show.
So for starters, I've read that New York has repeatedly in 2017, 2018, and 2019 led the nation in fire-related deaths. Can you elaborate on the problem that we've seen in the Empire State and continue to see in 2023, including in Rockland County?
Yeah, it's a dubious distinction. Certainly, look, we're a high population state, so the raw number is going to be higher, but you know, we outpace even California and other states that are of similar or bigger size. And it's a complicated issue to solve. But at the end of the day, I stand with the Fire Association of the State of New York, and we've worked on legislation in the past and we'll continue to work on both legislation and I think a change in the culture to try to bring this number down. It's multifaceted. Number one, it's getting out there and educating people on the things that need to be done, smoke alarms and such. But number two, it's also focusing on our code enforcement, our fire code enforcement in all of our municipalities, making sure that they have the resources to do the job correctly, and also making sure that the state is properly overseeing these municipalities so that it gets done with the type of expertise that it needs.
Well, is it clear what's contributing both to fires and, more importantly, fire deaths?
No, I don't think it's clear. Every fire is different. Maybe there's not one bill we can pass to bring it down, like one lever we can pull. We do know through various reports and various experience of the fire department that in municipalities across the state, there's two problems. One is there's sometimes a lack of capacity to properly enforce the building and fire codes, do the inspections, and to prosecute those that aren't following the law appropriately. But sometimes it's not a lack of capacity, it's a lack of will. There are municipalities across the state that for political forces or otherwise don't have the desire to strictly enforce the codes to ensure that we're in the best situation possible to either prevent fires or if there's a fire, make sure that it doesn't end up in a death. And so I think it's those two things that require action by the state.
Well, what is it about a less than aggressive response to code enforcement that contributes to fires and fire deaths?
Well, when you look at buildings, and we have a lot of places around the state that have really old building stock, landlords, folks that own property, multi-dwelling complexes, unfortunately, as you see in an economy, try to maximize their profits. So they don't necessarily make the repairs necessary, do the upkeep, make sure that the electrical systems are appropriate. And in order to enforce them to do that, it requires the municipalities who have the core function of enforcing the codes, looking over their shoulder, doing inspections, responding to complaints, setting up a robust process where they can figure out where these properties are. That would, number one, make sure that the repairs are made so hopefully fires don't happen. But number two, make sure that if a fire happens, that there's smoke alarms, make sure that there's not alterations to the building that make it difficult for residents to get out, firefighters to get in. It seems like a mundane problem, but when the emergency happens, many times in the middle of the night, and a firefighter talked about this yesterday, and they go in with low visibility, and they understand what the structure is normally, and then there should be a hallway, but they run into a wall. There should be an exit door, but it's been deadbolted and that exit room has been turned into another bedroom. That's when those critical minutes turn fatal. But it's much more than that too. See, the problem with the municipalities and proper code enforcement is one, you got to have people doing the inspections. Two, they got to be writing the violations. But three, the other branch of government, these violations need to be prosecuted effectively, competently. And judges need to be treating this seriously as well. If you're just, you know, ordering someone to have a $250 fine when they have major violations, or, you know, agreeing to adjournments for 6 months or a year, that's going to create a culture of non-compliance. So some of these things we can help with. Some of these things are a little bit more difficult because it goes into different branches of government.
Well, one of the areas where state policymakers could probably make a difference is in response to one of the recommendations from the Firefighters Association of State of New York. And that has to do with state funds that get invested into code enforcement and are, I guess, swept away in terms of Albany speak. Can you talk a little bit about what they're looking to change that has become almost maybe common practice at the Capitol?
Yeah, so it's referred to as 54G money. It's a reference to the section of law. And these are actual monies that are already collected from insurance policies that are paid already. And decades ago, I think it goes back to either Governor Pataki or the first Governor Cuomo, at one point during a difficult budget, these monies used to come in and be allocated to the municipalities to help with their code enforcement programs, to help with hiring, to help with computer systems. They stopped going out to the municipalities and went directly into the general fund. We are looking to relink this money that's already there to go out the door to help municipalities with code enforcement. We estimate it to be about $20 million in the next fiscal year that could be going out to our municipalities.
Well, $20 million in a budget of 200 plus billion. I'm sure that won't be a heavy lift. I'm sure the governor and the division of budget would love to change the way they traditionally do business in Albany, right?
It's not the biggest item in the budget, but in my experience, the budget is also made up of lots of $20 million, $10 million, $5 million allocations. So each one of those to get back out the door in a different way can be difficult, but I think the need is very clear out there. And I've had good discussions with our Ways and Means folks about this, with John McDonald, who chairs government operations now. I used to chair that committee. So hopefully we'll be successful this year, and we'll probably need to augment that in the future, but it's a great start.
Well, for listeners just joining us, so you're listening to the Capitol Press Room, and we're speaking with Assemblymember Ken Zebrowski, a Rockland County Democrat, and we're talking about policies that could potentially curb the high rate of fire deaths in New York. Another part of the platform advanced by the firefighters has to do with changing state law to increase penalties for building and fire code violations and stepping up code enforcement efforts. And we've talked a little bit about that today and in previous interviews. So what can the state do to cajole action and to really inspire both property owners to do the right thing and code enforcement officers to do the right thing that the state isn't currently utilizing right now?
Yeah, we've taken some steps in the past, like bills I've sponsored that have been signed into law, increased penalties, set a minimum penalty if a violation is not corrected in a number of days. But what the Fire Association would like to see is criminal penalties, should there be an injury or death. And I agree with them. We need to take this seriously. And if the negligence of a landlord results in injury or death to a firefighter or to a resident, then it needs to be treated like any other negligent sort of homicide, with a higher criminal penalty. And maybe that will start to impress upon these folks how important this issue is. We'd like to do more, though. I've sponsored bills in the past, and I'm working on one right now with a senator that should be released in the next few weeks, which would make a much more robust complaint program attempt to, within the Secretary of State's office, they have a code division, but set up a much more streamlined process where fire departments and code officials and residents can submit complaints to the Secretary of State's office when these things aren't being implemented. It really has to be a multi-pronged approach, because not one of these things is going to solve the problem, but hopefully all of them together, if we prioritize it, can bring this number down.
How far up the ladder do you think it makes sense to hold public officials culpable for maybe the lack of efficient code enforcement? For example, do elected municipal officials need to bear some responsibility, considering that, you know, code enforcement is one of the services that their local government is providing?
Yeah, I think they do, to the extent of how you hold them culpable. Certainly, I think that through the Attorney General's office or the Secretary of State, they currently have powers where they could go in and take action against a municipality that's not enforcing the law. The problem is when it's in like a gray area, right? When it's clear cut, they're not enforcing a minimum standards, we've been successful. But when they just run the program really poorly is where it's difficult to get direct action. You know, they're just not doing the inspections as fast. You know, the town prosecutors, the village prosecutors aren't prosecuting the cases. And I should say that's another avenue where I have legislation where it actually lies within the jurisdiction of the district attorney, and they just automatically deputize these village and town attorneys. And I think the Secretary of State should look at that and maybe not allow the deputizing of these folks. They're not doing their job. And then, of course, I said the judges earlier. I talked about the judges maybe, you know, not ordering these folks to fix the violation, come back in court, show us that it's fixed, and just, you know, doing a $250 fine, which becomes the cost of business. So it's when it's in that gray area, you know, it's other folks, other branches where it's tough. And that's what really frustrates the firefighters, because they see the problem, and through bureaucracy, the levers of government, whose jurisdiction it is, it's difficult for them to get resolved.
So when you try to advance bills like this at the Capitol, what's the opposition that you face? Are there municipal organizations that push back against this? Are there other interests that like the status quo? What's the challenge to accomplishing these types of bills?
Well, whenever there's like a criminal penalty, you know, there's some opposition of increasing those. Certainly there's times where the Association of Towns or the Association of Villages intervene, whether they're worried about increased costs or just, you know, they have this tendency to push back against any encroachment on what they see as their job or their jurisdiction. You know, sometimes there's just a, you know, a broad opposition from the agencies of how much capacity they have, our state agencies, to intervene when these are core functions of municipal governments. Those are the types of things where I generally get some pushback, or it's a hurdle I have to overcome.
Well, we've been speaking with Assemblymember Ken Zebrowski. He is a Rockland County Democrat. Assemblymember, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Appreciate you reporting on this issue.
And for more Capitol Pressroom content, visit capitalpressroom.org or wherever you download your favorite podcasts. And if you listen to us from an Apple device, make sure to leave us a rating and a review so it helps other people find the show.
Support for the Capitol Pressroom provided by the New York State AFL-CIO, a federation of 3,000 unions fighting for working people by keeping New York State union strong. Visit unionstrongny.org for more information. Join us again for Capitol Pressroom, a production of WCNY Connected, Syracuse.